We present The Rose and the Ring by William Makepeace Thackeray, adapted for radio by Helen Dryden, with Prunella Scales as the Fairy Blackstick, Maureen Lipman as Countess Gruffenuff, Clive Swift as Valoroso, and Roger Allam as Thackeray. Episode 2.
No vision in heaven or earth can compare with divinest Betsinda. Oh, let me sing ever her worth. Diddy-dum, dum-dee-dum, dum-dee-tinder. Or something, something, something winder. Oh, the loveliest of beings. Why is it so hard to find a right name?
You will remember, dear listener, that Giglio was meant to be executed for hitting King Valoroso with a warming pan. But here he is in the garden at dawn, while poor Balbo is about to lose his head.
There he is. Oh, my darling husband is in such dreadful danger. Well, dear Giglio.
Well, dear Gruffy.
I saw what happened to the king last night.
Ah, the king.
You are in mortal danger, my own. We must devise some plan to save you.
I have forgotten everything about last night, except for one beautiful creature.
No, dear prince.
Dum-dee-dum-dee-dum-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
You must fly the country for a while, my darling.
Fly the country? Never without her. I love Countess.
No, she will accompany you, dear prince. First, go to Glumboza's apartment. Under his bed you'll find sacks containing 217,987,439 pounds, 30 shillings and 6 pence, all belonging to you. With this, we will fly.
We will fly?
Yes, you and your bride, your affianced love, your Gruffy.
You, my bride? You, you hideous old woman.
You wretch! Didn't you give me this paper promising marriage?
Get away, you old douche. I love Betsinda, and Betsinda only!
The idea of marrying Gruffenuff so terrified him that he ran up to his room, packed his trunks, and was off in a twinkling.
Don't think you're going to run away from me! A promise is a promise! And as for that ugly little vixen, Betsinda, little do you know that Miss Betsinda is...
Is what? You shall hear. Poor Betsinda got up at 5 that winter's morning and found her cruel mistress as cross as 2 sticks.
Ah, Madam Betsinda, you're late.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
That tea's cold. Take it away and bring me a proper cup.
Yes, ma'am.
Not now. Help me to dress. I am in a hurry.
Yes, ma'am, will you wear your pink or your lavender gown today?
The lavender, of course, you stupid wretch. Bring it over here. Don't trail it on the floor, you clumsy. Take that. How do you like having your ears boxed, miss?
I don't, if you please, ma'am.
Don't you? Well, you better learn then, hadn't you? There. Does that suit your ladyship?
Yes, ma'am.
And now, when Her Majesty rings her bell twice, I'll trouble you, miss, to attend.
Very lamentable events had occurred to Betsinda that morning, and all in consequence of that fatal warming pan business. The Queen was jealous, Angelica was furious, and what a fury Gruffy was in.
You wretch!
You vulgar little thing!
You beast! Take off that cap I gave you!
Take off that petticoat I gave you!
Take off that gown I gave you!
How dare you flirt with the king!
Prince Balbo!
Prince Giglio!
Give her the rags she wore when she came here and turn her out!
Mind she doesn't go with my shoes on, which I lent her so kindly!
Come with me! You!
And taking up the Queen's poker, the cruel Gruffenuff drove Betsinda into her room.
Did I tell you when I put these rags away? Have you looked at this box every day and remembered to be grateful? No, you little wretch, you have not. Here, take these rags. Strip off everything belonging to honest people and go about your business.
What am I to do with one poor little sandal? I'll hang it round my neck by its string. Won't you please give me a pair of shoes to go out in the snow, Mum? If you please, Mum.
No, you wicked beast. Come on. Shoo! Down the stairs with you!
Please don't hit me with the poker, Mom!
No, out of that door and don't come back!
And she flung her out into the cold street so that the knocker itself shed tears to see her. But a kind fairy made the soft snow warm for her little feet, and she wrapped herself up in the ermine of her mantle and was gone.
And now let us think about breakfast.
It seems to be a pencil like this pink dress, Mama.
This is me. Let us have sausages. Oh, what a splendid heap of muffins.
Mama Tonio has just sent in the sausages.
And they smell good. Now, where's Bobo? John, where is his Royal Highness?
I took up his Royal Highness's shaving water, Your Majesty, and he wasn't in his room, which I suppose his Royal Highness had just stepped out. Oh,
Mrs. Bow, my dear, have a sausage. Angelica, won't you have a samurai?
Thank you, Papa.
I'm afraid, Your Majesty.
No business before breakfast, Plum. Breakfast first, business next.
Sir, I'm afraid that if we wait till after breakfast, it will be too late. He'll be hanged at 9:30.
Don't talk about hanging and spoil my breakfast, you vulgar man. John, the mustard. Who is to be hanged?
Sire, it is the prince. We shall have a war, sire. Depend on it. His father, King Padella.
King Padella is not Zelio's father. My brother, King Salvio, was Zelio's father.
It's Prince Balbo they're hanging, sire, not Prince Zelio.
Huh?
Heads up!
You tell me to hang the prince, and I took the ugly one.
Take that, you fool!
Don't waste the sausages throwing them at heads of, dear.
Turn the cock of the urn on Her Royal Highness, John. Silly girl, spent it.
Yes, sir.
Now, what time is it by my watch? If I'm slow, we may as well go on with breakfast. If I'm fast, there's just the possibility of saving Prince Bulbo. It's a deuced awkward mistake, and upon my word, heads off, I've the greatest mind to have you hang too.
Sire, the soldier has but his orders. I didn't expect after 47 years of faithful service that my sovereign would think of putting me to a felon's death.
100,000 plagues on you. Can't you see that while you're talking, my Bulbo is being hanged?
By Jove, she's right, that girl. And I watch the time again. There go the drums. Deuced awkward.
Oh, Papa, you goose. Write the reprieve and let me run with it. Here's some paper and a pen and ink.
Confound it. Where are my spectacles? Angelica, go up into my bedroom. Look under my pillow, not your mama's, and there you'll see my keys. Bring them down to me, and...
Here you are, Papa.
Well, what impetuous things you girls are. Now, love, you must go all the way back to my desk where my spectacles are. If you just heard me out... Be hanged, and there she's off again. Why, Angelica!
Yes, Papa?
My dear, when you go out of a room, how often have I told you, shut the door?
At last, the keys and the desk and the spectacles were got, and the king mended his pen and signed his name to a reprieve.
You'd better stay, my love, and finish the muffins. Yeah. There's no use going. It's too late. Hand me over the raspberry jam, please. There goes the half hour. I knew it was too late.
Angelica ran and ran and ran.
I mustn't be late.
Until she came to the execution place, where she saw Bulbo lying his head on the block.
Oh, my prince, as precious to me as a rose you carry between your teeth, even on this hideous scaffold.
Is there accounting for taste? But I tell you what, Angelica, since I came here yesterday, there's been such a row and fighting and chopping heads off that I'm inclined to go back to Crim Tartary.
But with me as thy bride, my bold, my beautiful, my Bulbo.
Well, I suppose we must be married.
Then, in the name of peace and quietness, do let's get back to breakfast.
Drop your rose, my angel. Let me pick it up. Sweet rose that bloomed upon my Bulbo's lips, never shall I part from thee.
Hooray! Hooray!
And she placed it in her bosom. And as they walked to breakfast, it appeared to Bulbo that Angelica became more exquisitely lovely every moment.
Dearest, loveliest Angelica, I am frantic until we can be married.
You can't imagine how silly you look on your knees in the middle of the street, Bulbo.
Let me kiss your little hand.
For my part, I think we should wait.
Wait? I would rather die.
Oh, stand up, won't you? You can't go into breakfast on your knees.
Oh, you! They didn't hang you then. Have a samurai.
No, sir, I was spared by the intervention of the divine Angelica.
Papa, I must speak to you alone. I really think we should wait. Bulbo, well, it seems to me he isn't handsome anymore. Quite the reverse. Not very clever, very stupid, in fact. And not well-bred like Celia. No, on the contrary, dreadfully vulgar.
Pasta. Call the Archbishop and let the prince and princess be married at once.
So married they were. And I'm sure, for my part, I trust they will be happy. But we must now revert to Betsinda. Betsinda wandered on and on till she passed through the town gates and so onto the great Crim Tartary Road.
What are you doing? Trudging along in your bare feet in all this cold, miss? My cart mightn't be very comfortable, but it's clean. I live over yonder in the forest. My old father's a woodman. I'll take you that far on the road if that's the way you're going.
Oh, that is kind of you. All roads are the same to me.
Here we are, then.
You sit you there. Oh, let me put this cloth around your poor little frozen feet.
Thank you. You are kind.
For all that, Betsinda was very cold and melancholy. After travelling on and on, evening came and all the black pines were bending with snow. At last, they saw the comfortable light beaming on the woodman's windows.
Come along in and get yourself warm.
Brother dear, you're home.
He brought the present for you.
Now calm yourself down, of course I have. But see what else I bought you. Now just you mind your manners and look to the young lady. She's cold and hungry. Now, you take care of her while I go and see to the horses.
Won't you go to the fire, m'lady? Would you like some of this nice hot bread and milk?
Look, Father. What pretty gold feet she has.
Look at this strange cloak she has. It's just like that bit of blue velvet hanging up in our cupboard.
And look, she's got a little shoe and a string round her neck. Just like the one you brought home.
That you keep on showing us.
My lady, where did you get this cloak and the shoe?
I was left in this town when I was quite a little child, and all I had was this cloak and this shoe. I can remember being in a forest, in a cave with lions, and before that, I think I lived in a very fine house.
Don't move, my lady. Sit there, just like that. Son, in my cupboard there's a stocking with a 5-shilling piece in it. Bring it to me, and the bit of cloak, and the shoe as well. Now, boy, do you know whose head that is on the coin?
It's not King Padella.
No, it isn't. That is King Cavolfiore, our rightful king who's been dead these many years. Now, look at our young lady sitting in the firelight. What do you say?
She's exactly like the old king.
Yes, only she's much prettier.
She's the prettiest lady in the world.
May I look at your little shoe, my lady?
Here it is.
What does it say? Your eyes are younger than mine.
It says Hopkins, maker to the royal family.
So does yours, Father.
And your cloak, my lady?
There are some letters embroidered. P-R-I-N-R-O-S. A-L.
And O says C-E-S-S-B-A, number 246.
And if you piece the cloak together...
It says Princess Rosalba, number 246.
Oh, my princess. Oh, my rightful queen of Crim Tartary. I hail thee, I acknowledge thee, I do thee homage.
Why, my good woodman, you must be a nobleman of my father's court.
Indeed I am, my gracious liege, the poor Lord Spinace once. The humble woodman these 15 years since. Ever since the tyrant Padella dismissed me from my post of First Lord.
It is restored to thee, Lord Spinace.
And with indescribable majesty, the queen, who had no sword handy, waved the pewter spoon from her bread and milk over the bald head of the old nobleman.
Rise, Marquis of Spinace.
Children, don't stand there gaping. On your knees for her majesty.
Rise, Lord Ubaldo degli Spinace. Rise, Lady Caterina degli Spinace.
The acquaintance her majesty showed with the history and noble families of her empire was wonderful.
The House of Broccoli should remain faithful to us, and the Artichoke. The sauerkrauts must surely be with us.
I can answer for them all. The whole country groans under Padella's tyranny.
Your Majesty.
What is it, Lord Bartolomeo?
It is my proudest boast that my humble cart brought Queen Rosalba into her kingdom.
What must I do now?
Summon all the noblemen in the kingdom to form an army to march on the vile tyrant Padella.
Hurrah! Her Majesty Queen Rizalba! Death to the tyrant!
Your Majesty shall have her army of fidelity by dawn!
The army of fidelity was in truth composed of very feeble old fogies. It pottered along as nimbly as the gout of the principal commanders would allow, and consisted of twice as many officers as men. For the most part, they went about waving their old swords and flags and calling, "God save the Queen!" And King Padella, happening to be away on an invasion, they had their own way for a little. The crowds were very enthusiastic whenever they saw the Queen, but the common people took matters very quietly, for, as far as they could recollect, they were pretty well as much taxed in Cavolfiore's time as now in Padella's.
Lord Spinacci, whose castle is that at the top of the hill?
It belongs to the mighty warrior Count Hoginarme, Majesty. He is the strongest man in the whole land. It takes two gigantic slaves to carry his helmet alone.
Have he declared for us?
Not yet, ma'am, but we have hopes of him. He's always quarreling with the vile usurper Padella.
Give the order for the men to halt and rest their poor old feet.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Stop! Madam Felicity!
Send a messenger to Count Hoginarme that Queen Rosalba of Crim Tartary is camped at his gates and desires to speak with him.
Yes, Your Majesty.
The mighty warrior Count Hoginarme welcomes Her Majesty Queen Rosalba.
Madam and liege lady, it becomes the great nobles of the Crimean realm to show respect to the wearer of the crown, whoever that may be. The bold Hoginarme bends the knee to salute his sovereign.
The bold Count of Hoginarme is uncommonly kind.
Madam, my hand is free, and I offer it, my heart and my sword, to your service. My three wives lie buried in my ancestral vaults. The third perished but a year since, and this heart pines for a consort, deigned to be mine. And I swear to bring to your bridal table the head of King Padella, the eyes and nose of Prince Boldo, and the right hand and ears of Balanosa of Paphlagonia. Hoginarme is not accustomed to be denied.
Oh, sir, your lordship is exceedingly kind, but I am sorry to tell you that I have a prior attachment to a young gentleman by the name of Prince Helio, and never, never can marry anyone but him.
Who can describe Hoginarmo's wrath at this remark? Rising up from the ground, he ground his teeth so that fire flashed from his mouth, from which at the same time issued remarks so loud, so violent, so improper, that I shall never repeat them.
Rejected! Fiends and perdition! The bold Hoginarmo rejected! All the world shall hear of my rage! And you, madam, above all, shall rue it!
And kicking the two slaves like footballs before him, he rushed away, his whiskers streaming in the wind. Her Majesty's Privy Council was in a dreadful panic when they saw Hoginarme in such a towering rage.
Army of Fidelity, have upturned quick march, withdraw from Hoginarmo's part as quickly as you can!
In another half an hour, they were met by that rapacious chieftain with a few of his followers, who cut, slashed, charged, whacked, banged and pummeled them, took the Queen prisoner, and drove the army of fidelity to I don't know where.
Great and glorious King Padella, with this letter I send to you the vile traitress Rosalba. The bold Hoginarme bends the knee to salute his sovereign.
What is it, guard?
A prisoner who calls herself Queen Rosalba begs an audience with you, sir.
We do not condescend to see her. Get a horse, man. Clap the hussy into it and send her with my compliments to His Majesty King Padella.
Here we are, Marco. This is your Majesty's chamber, the deepest dungeon in the castle.
I can't see anything.
No, it's the darkest dungeon as well.
What are those terrible groans?
They're King Padella's enemies. Well, the rich ones. He killed all the poor ones. He's torturing these to find out where they've hidden their money.
Oh, my poor army. Am I to be all alone in this dungeon?
Apart from the bats, rats, mice, toads, frogs, and the snake.
And am I not allowed any light?
Oh, no. So you better get used to the dark. Here you go. Picture.
It is horribly dark in here, but I am not alone. Dear creatures, I am to share your prison. Oh! Oh! An owl! Dear owl, you're trying to tell me everything is all right, aren't you? Oh, puss, here. Let me stroke you.
And the toads came and kissed her feet, and the vipers wound round her neck and never hurt her. So charming was this poor princess in the midst of her misfortunes.
It's not that I mind very much being in the dark. You are all so kind. But I would like to see daylight and Prince Giglio again.
At last, after she had been kept in this place for ever so long, the door of the dungeon opened, and the terrible King Padella came in. But we must now go back to Prince Giglio.
Mary, Gruffana. What a fate. I must get as far away as possible. I suppose Uncle Valeroso's all right. Did hit him hard at the moment. Oh, Red Cinder. Coachman, will all this snow delay the diligence?
Shouldn't do, sir. If I were you, I'd make myself nice and comfortable inside. There is a gentleman in there already. Could I have your name, sir?
Giles. Mr. Giles.
Here you get, Mr. Giles.
Goodbye, old Gruffanuff. Farewell, Paphlagonia. And Betsinda. I wonder if they'll miss me.
Well, good day to you, sir. No, don't sit there, if you please. I can't abide having to look at people.
Oh, good day to you, sir. No more can I. I shall look out of the window.
Is there a place for me, coachman?
What a low, vulgar-looking woman like you travel with gentlemen.
Oh, I should think not. Up on the roof is a place for you. Give me your bag. I'll see what's up after you.
Nice weather for travelling outside.
I wish you a pleasant journey, my dear.
Poor woman. She shouldn't be travelling in the cold air with that dreadful cough. I'll give up my place to her.
What's a hot-blooded young blade like you want to be doing warming up an old stick like that?
Don't you dare speak to me like that, you vulgar person. Take that. Madam, will you take my place inside?
Oh, thank you, young man.
The vulgar traveller got down at the next station, and Giglio took his place again and talked to the person next to him. She appeared to be a most agreeable, well-informed and entertaining female.
Are you thirsty?
I am indeed.
Here we are. I've got just the thing in my bag.
Oh, my! A bottle of best pale ale. And a silver mug.
Perhaps you would like something to eat.
Well, I am pretty hungry, but I don't want to take your food.
A little cold fowl, or a few slices of ham.
Oh.
Bread, salt. Oh, and when you finish that, there's a little piece of cold pudding and a small glass of brandy up to
it. My dear madam, you do travel well prepared.
As they travelled, this strange, plain-looking woman talked to Giglio on a variety of subjects.
I blush to own, madam, I am horribly ignorant of so many things.
My dear chief, my good Mr. Giles, you are a young man and have plenty of time before you. You have nothing to do but to improve yourself. Who knows but that you might find use for your knowledge someday when you may be wanted at home again.
Good heavens, madam, do you know me?
I know a number of things. I advise you to stay at the inn where the coach stops and study. And remember your old friend, to whom you were so kind.
And who is my old friend?
When you want anything, look in the bag, which I leave to you as a present, and be grateful to...
To whom, madam?
To the fairy Blackstick!
And she flew out of the window.
Coachman, where is that lady?
What lady, sir? I've seen no lady in this coach. Except the old woman.
who got out at the last stage.
It must have been Greenwood. No, can't have been. There's her bag. I'll keep it by me, in case I see her again.
They gave him a very bad bedroom at the inn, and when he woke in the morning, Giglio fancied himself in the palace at home.
Dawn! Charles! Thomas! My chocolate! My dressing gown! My slippers!
But nobody came.
Hello! Bring me some water. Someone. Ah, landlady.
What's your hollering and a bellering for here, young man?
There's no warm water, no servants. My boots aren't even cleaned.
You clean them yourself. You stones giving yourself pretty airs. I never heard such impudence.
The landlady of the bear went away, growling. And Giglio returned to his room, where the first thing he saw was the fairy bag, which seemed to give a little hop as he came in.
Hello. What's this in the bag? Breakfast, I hope. Oh, a blacking brush and a pot of Warren's jet polish. Poor young men, their boots must black. Use me, cork me, and put me back. Oh, I see I have to look after my own boots.
When he had finished his boots, he put the brush and the bottle back in the bag, which gave another little hop.
What have you got for me now, my dear old bag? I say!
And he took out a tablecloth and napkin, a sugar basin full of the finest loaf sugar, 2 forks, 2 teaspoons, 2 knives, a pair of sugar tongs and a butter knife, all marked G, a teacup, saucer and slop basin, a jug of delicious cream, a canister of black tea, a large tea urn and boiling water, a saucepan containing 3 eggs, nicely done, 1/4 pound of best Epping butter and a brown loaf.
Splendid! If that isn't enough for a good breakfast, I don't know who ever had one.
Now I must go and find myself some lodgings.
I forgot to say, this famous university town was called Bosforo. Giglio took a modest lodging opposite the schools and went to his apartment with his trunk and carpet bag and, not forgetting, we may be sure, his other bag.
Now to unpack my trunk. What on earth? Books? I don't own any books. No name inside, but... Clothes for the back, books for the head. Read and remember them when they are read. What the deuce is in my carpet bag, then? Now, this certainly isn't mine. A student's cap and gown, a writing book, an inkstand, pens, and a Johnson's dictionary.
Which was very useful to him, as his spelling had been sadly neglected.
Seems to me this bag is trying to tell me something.
So he sat down and worked very, very hard for a whole year, during which Mr. Giles was quite an example to all the students in the University of Bosforo. He never got into any riots, the professors spoke well of him, and the students liked him.
We are pleased to announce that Mr. Giles has taken all the prizes. The spelling prize, the writing prize, the history prize, the French prize, the arithmetic prize, and the Latin prize, and the good conduct prize.
Hooray, Giles! Giles is a boy! The students joy!
One day, as Giglio was diverting himself at a coffee house with 2 friends, he chanced to look in the Bosforo Chronicle and read it quite easily, for he could spell, read, and write the longest words now.
I say, you fellows, listen to this. One of the most extraordinary adventures that we have ever found has set the neighboring country of Crim Tartary in a state of great excitement.
Well, that's nothing. Doesn't take much to get those Crimeans excited.
It will be remembered that when the present revered sovereign of Crim Tartary, His Majesty King Padella, took possession of the throne, etc., etc., the Princess Rosalba was not found in the royal palace and it was said had been eaten up by ferocious lions.
Sounds like a bit of a fairy tale to me.
The personage calling herself Rosalba states that she was left in the palace garden of Blombodinga, where Princess Angelica, now married to H.R.H. Bulbo, Crown Prince of Crim Tartary, found and gave the little outcast a home. The foundling was educated in the palace in a menial capacity under the name of... Betsinda. Betsinda!
She did not give satisfaction and was dismissed about a year ago. On the very same morning, the Prince Zelio, nephew to the King of Paphlagonia, also quitted Blombodinga and has not been since heard of.
Oh, what a extraordinary story. Ah, there's more. Second edition express. We hear that the so-called Army of Fidelity has been utterly routed by General Count Hogginarmo, and the so-called Queen Rosalba is sent a prisoner to the capital.
Pretty short brain.
Gallon Smith, intrepid Jones, I have something to tell shall astonish your honest minds.
Give it, old boy. Talk away, my buck.
With an air of indescribable dignity, Giglio checked their natural but no longer seemly familiarity.
Jones, Smith, my good friends, disguise is henceforth useless. I am no more the humble student Giles. I am the descendant of a royal line.
Or as we say in Latin, atavis edite regibus. I know old cock.
He was going to say old cock, but a flash from the royal eye again awed him.
Friends, I am Bacchino. I am, in fact, Paphlagonia. Rise, Smith, and kneel not, Jones, thou true heart. My faithless uncle filched from me the crown my father left me, like unto hapless Hamlet, Prince of Denmark. In redress, I was to marry his daughter, Angelica. We two were to reign in Paphlagonia. His promises were false. False as Angelica's heart. False as Angelica's hair, color, front teeth. She looked with her skew eyes upon young Bulbo, from Tartary's stupid air, and she preferred him. 'Twas then I turned my eyes upon Betsinda, and saw in her the blushing sum of all perfection.
I don't give all of this speech, which was very fine, but very long. And though Smith and Jones knew nothing about the circumstances, my dear listener does.
Friends, yes, Smith, Jones,
yes, yes.
We must return to my lodgings at once. We have much to do today. There it is, on my writing table, my bag. So what shall I find inside it now?
Ah! A splendid cotton thrust sword with a gold handle.
Red velvet scabbard embroidered on the sheath.
Rosalba forever.
Gentlemen, follow me. Rosalba forever.
Rosalba forever.
I say, Giles, old fellow. I mean, you're R8. Look at your trunk. It's bursting itself open. Look at that.
A gold crown with three ostrich feathers.
Surrounding a steel helmet.
A pair of spurs and a cuirass.
A complete suit of armor. And look, two pairs of jack boots.
These are labeled Lieutenant Smith.
And these, Jones Esquire.
A perfect fit.
So are these.
That evening, three cavaliers might have been seen issuing from the gates of Bosforo. They rode full pelt until they reached the last town on the frontier before you come to Crim Tartary.
That's the Paphlagonian national anthem. No, it can't be.
Yes, it is!
My gallant, faithful veteran, Captain Hedzoff! Don't you recognize your prince, your Giglio? Tell me, what means this mighty army?
Oh, my lord, yes. We are marching as the allies of Great Magella. Crim Tartaris, what?
Crim Tartaris, you supper! Crim Tartaris, grim tyrant, gallant heads off!
Yes, soldier, prince can but obey his orders. My lord, to help King Magella, and also to seize on the body of Giglio, former prince of Paphlagonia. But my great is given up his sword. Look, we are 30,000 men to one.
Give up my sword! Giglio, give up his sword!
And stepping forward, the royal youth, without preparation, delivered a speech so magnificent that no report can do it justice. It was all in blank verse, in which, from this time, he inevitably spoke publicly, as more becoming his majestic station. It lasted for 3 days and 3 nights, during which not a single person who heard him was tired. At the end of this gigantic effort, Hedzoff flung off his helmet.
Hurrah! Hurrah! Long live King Giglio!
Hurrah! King Giglio!
Beer for the army down in the square, and a glass for me in the inn.
Hooray! Hooray!
Unfortunately, sir, this division is only the advance guard. The main force is a day's march in the rear, under His Royal Highness Prince Balbo.
We will wait here, my friend, to beat the prince, and then we'll make his royal father wince and rescue Queen Rosalba from his grasp.
What do you mean you won't marry me, you foolish girl? I am your king. I am a widower. You are my prisoner. And I am in love with you.
Thank you, King Padella. But Prince Velio is my true love, and any other man is out of the question.
Think carefully before you reject me. I can have you tortured till you scream for mercy.
I would rather suffer all your tortures than accept the hand of my father's murderer.
Very well, if that's what you want. I take my leave, madam. Prepare yourself for death tomorrow morning!
All night long, the king spent in devising how he should get rid of this obdurate young creature.
Cutting off her head is too easy a death for her. Hanging is so common, it's no fun anymore. If I cast her into the deepest dungeons to be gnawed by the rats, the wretched creatures kiss her feet. That's it! Why didn't I think of it before? My lions!
Adjoining his castle was an amphitheater.
Will you be seated, Count Hogginarmo?
Your Majesty is most gracious. It is an honor to sit beside Your Majesty in the royal box.
Let the entertainment begin! Bring out the prisoner!
So beautiful and pointed of feet. Listen to those ugly brutes. They've been fed on nothing but toast and water for 3 weeks.
Let loose the lion!
Look, they're lying down. They're licking her feet.
They're nuzzling her.
She's putting her arms round their necks.
Yeah, bah! Rubbish! It's a disgrace to treat people in this way. They're not lions at all. They're little boys dressed up as doormat.
You dare to speak to your king like that? Guards, take Count Hogginarmo and fling him into the circus. Give him a sword and let him fight these lions.
Touch me, not dogs, or I will gore you. Your Majesty thinks Hogginarmo is afraid? Not of 100,000 lions. Yet just you watch this.
Let them both come on, then.
In about 2 minutes, the Count Hogginarmo was gobbled up by those lions, bones, boots and all. And there was an end of him.
Serves him right, the rebellious ruffian. And now, as those lions won't eat the young woman...
Let her go!
No! Let the beast eaters go down and suffer into small pieces. If the lions defend us, shoot them. That hussy will die in torture.
Shame! Shame!
What? Flaying any scoundrel who says a word down among the lions. By my word, that herald is Elephant and Castle, pursuivant of my brother of Paphlagonia. And the knight is the gallant Captain Hedzoff. Speak your message, knight and herald.
Oye, oye! Know all men by these present that we, King Giglio of Paphlagonia, Grand Duke of Cappadocia, Sovereign Prince of Turkey and the Sausage Islands, hereby summon the false traitor Padella, calling himself King of Crim Tartary. To release from cowardly imprisonment his rightful sovereign, Rosalba, Queen of Crim Tartary, and restore her to her royal throne, in default of which I, Giglio, proclaim the said Padella sneak, traitor, humbug, usurper, and coward. I challenge him to meet me alone, or at the head of his army, on foot or on horseback, and will prove my words upon his wicked, ugly body.
God save the king.
Is that all?
Yes, sir, it is all my royal master's message. Any villages will have Pimtasme chooses to find fault with his majesty's expressions. I, Tuskin Hedzoff, captain of the guards, And very much at his service.
And what says my good brother of Paphlagonia to this rubbish?
The king's uncle has been deprived of the crown he unjustly wore. He and his ex-minister, Clumboso, are now in prison awaiting sentence. After the Battle of Bombardaro, where his present majesty would have performed prodigies of valor, but that the whole of his uncle's army came over to our side, with the exception of Prince Bulbo.
Ah, my boy, my Bulbo was no traitor.
Who ran away, sir? But I caught him. Prince is a prisoner in our army, and the most horrific tortures await him if a hair on the Princess Rosalba's head is injured.
Do they indeed? So much the worse for Balbo. I've 20 sons as lovely. Torture Balbo. Break all his bones. Roast him. Flay him alive. Dear as Balbo is to me, revenge is dearer still. Torture us. Light up the fires and get lots of boiling lead. Bring out Rosalba.
Oh, my poor Balbo. Have you heard the news? Thy brutal father has condemned Rosalba. Put her to death.
What? Killed Betsinda? She was the dearest little girl in the world. I love her 20,000 times more than Angelica.
Shake hands. I wish I'd known you sooner. Oh, my poor Balbo, I don't know how to tell you. Because of your father's dastardly behavior, I'm afraid I shall have to have you executed. Immediately. Take him away, head off.
Sir. So you see, sir, His Majesty can't break a promise. He's got to execute you.
I don't see why.
Look at it this way, sir. If you'd won the Battle of Bombardaro, you could have hanged Prince Giglio.
There's no comfort to me now.
The business will be done at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Good morning, Balbo. I have come to take my leave of you. What's that dreadful roaring?
The fact is that while the gates were open, King Padella's lions had made a dash for it, gobbled up the 6 beef-eaters, and carried away Rosalba and brought her to the town where Giglio was encamped.
Your Majesty, allow me to hand you off your lions.
Gladly, Prince.
The lions were grown as fat as pigs by now, having had hog in armor and all those beef-eaters to eat, and were so tame, anybody might pat them.
Oh, let me hug you, you darling old beast. Oh, how glad I am to see you. And you too, dear, dear Betsinda. That is Rosalba.
Oh, is it you? Poor Balbo. You may kiss my hand.
It is half past eight. Shall we proceed with the execution?
Prince Balbo is reprieved this time. And now we shall go into breakfast and prepare for a grand ball to celebrate Queen Rosalba's escape.
Sir, five travelers from Padella's court are here.
Apparently, when he heard that Queen Rosalba had escaped him, he threw every officer of the crown into the boiling oil prepared for the princess. And now he has set out with an masked army and is marching to do battle with your majesty.
No more of that just now. I'm not bothered about Padella and his army. Tomorrow, old friend.
Tomorrow! What are you looking so miserable for, Prince? He didn't execute you, did we?
Well, you wouldn't understand, Herzog, a rough soldier like yourself.
The fact is that the sight of Betsinda, who looked perfectly lovely dancing with Prince Giglio, sent poor Balbo frantic with love again. And he never thought about Angelica, whom he had left at home.
That ring you're wearing. How did you... Where did you?
Countess Gruffanuff gave it to me. I think she must have picked it up when Angelica threw it away.
Fairy Blackstick.
Yes, I've come to see you young people.
And very likely have certain plans regarding them.
That's the ring I gave Giglio's mother, who was not, saving your presence, a very wise woman. It is enchanted. And whoever wears it looks beautiful in the eyes of the world.
Rosalba needs no ring. She's beautiful enough in my eyes without any enchanted aid.
Oh, sir.
Take off the ring and try. Here, let me. Oh, you are even more beautiful than before to me.
Oh, Giglio.
Now, we can't throw this ring away. It's too dangerous. What should we do? I know.
Balbo! Hey, poor lad. Come and try on this ring. The Princess Rosalba makes you a present of it.
Thank you, dear princess.
What a personable, agreeable prince he is.
What a fine complexion.
No one would notice his bandy legs and those handsome yellow Morocco boots.
Now, who shall I dance with next? Princess Rosalba? Oh, how very odd.
She's very pretty, but not so extraordinarily handsome.
But what do I care what other people think of me? If you think I'm good-looking enough, dearest Julio.
Bless you, my darling children. Now you see what I said from the first, that a little misfortune has done you both good. Giglio, had you been bred in prosperity, would scarcely have learned to read and write. You, Rosalba, would have been so flattered that your little head might have been turned like Angelica's, who thought herself too good for Giglio.
As if anybody could be good enough for him.
Oh, you darling. Come here.
My lord, the enemy!
To arms! One kiss, my love, and then to battle!
The fairy had provided King Giglio with a suit of armor, which was waterproof, gunproof, and swordproof, so that in the midst of the very hottest battles, His Majesty rode about as calmly as if he had been a British grenadier at Alma. Besides the fairy armor, the prince had a fairy horse, which would gallop at any pace he pleased, and a fairy sword, which would lengthen and run through a whole regiment of enemies at once. In fact, the overthrow of King Padella's army was so complete that if they had been Russians, you could not have wished them to be more utterly smashed and confounded. As for King Padella, when his army ran away, the king ran away too.
Stay, traitor! Turn, miscreant, and defend thyself! Stand, tyrant, till I cut thy ugly head from thy usurping shoulders!
When he was fairly brought to bay, Padella turned and dealt Prince Giglio a prodigious crack over the head with his battle axe. But though the blow fell right down on His Majesty's helmet, it made no more impression than if Padella had struck him with a pat of butter.
I scorn your blows, vile usurper!
If you ride a fairy horse and wear fairy armor, what on earth is the use of my hitting you? I may as well give myself up at once.
Do you yield yourself a prisoner, Padella?
Of course I do.
Do you acknowledge Rosalba as your rightful queen and give up the crown and all your treasures to her?
If I must, I must.
Tie the prisoner's hands behind him, lead him back to my quarters, and throw him into the dungeon! Faithful heads off, we hereby create you Duke heads off in reward for your loyal service. Noble Smith, gallant Jones, you I promote to earls. Send orders to the Archbishop of Brombadinga to hold himself in readiness to perform the marriage ceremony when my queen and I return to our capital.
With your permission, I'd like to tidy up one or two other matters at the palace. There you are, Glambozo, you old rogue. Now, just you give back all that money you stole from King Savio.
Oh, yes, my lord, of course, my lord. I was only looking after it for dear King Giglio.
Bless you, Valoroso. Into prison with you, I think.
I am your sovereign.
No, you're not. You haven't been anybody's sovereign for months.
But can you bear to put your ex-sovereign into that fearful dungeon?
A soldier, sir, can do but his duty. My orders are to lock you up along with ex-King Padella.
Oh.
So these two ex-royal personages were sent for a year to the House of Correction and were obliged to become monks of the severest order of flagellants. As for Prime Minister Glambozo, he was sent to the galleys and never had an opportunity to steal any more.
Nearly back in our kingdom, my dearest Rosalba.
Yes, and let me advise you to deal justly by your subjects, draw mildly on the taxes, never break your promise once given. In short, be a good king.
Of course he will, my dear fairy.
Why is Fairy Blackstick always advising me and warning me to keep my word? Does she suppose that I'm not a man of sense and a man of honour?
Dear Julio, Blackstick has been very kind to us. We mustn't offend her.
Where's she gone now?
Turned her wand into a broomstick and is riding ahead with Bulbo, bringing him to his darling Angelica.
There she is, my beautiful Angelica.
Bulbo! My darling husband, Bulbo!
She had no eyes for anyone but Bulbo, who appeared perfectly lovely to her on account of the fairy ring he wore, while she herself wearing the magic rose in her bonnet, seemed entirely beautiful to the enraptured Bulbo.
And now to luncheon, friends, and then to the cathedral for our royal wedding.
Hurrah!
Did you ask Gruffanuff to be your bridesmaid, my dear?
No, I didn't.
Then what is she doing dressed up in that ridiculous white dress and that lace veil and that wreath of roses?
I don't know.
Archbishop, gentlemen and ladies, we must be starting.
We must be in the church before 12.
And then I shall be the happiest man in my dominions.
No, my Zelio, can it be that this happy moment at length has arrived?
Of course it has arrived.
And that I am to become the enraptured bride of my adored Zelio.
You, my bride?
You marry my dear prince?
Nonsense. The woman's mad.
Now, I should like to know who else is going to be married if King Giglio is a gentleman, and if there is such a thing as justice in Paphlagonia. Lord Chancellor, my Lord Archbishop, will your lordship sit by and see a poor confiding creature put upon? Has not Prince Giglio promised to marry his Barbara? Is not this the prince's signature?
And she handed to the Archbishop the document the prince signed that evening when she wore the magic ring and Giglio drank so much champagne.
The document is certainly is a document.
The signature is not in His Majesty's handwriting.
Is this your handwriting, Giglio?
Yes, as it used to be before I... Oh. Help the Queen, someone! Her Majesty has fainted!
Leave her to me.
Mother the old witch!
Yes, yes.
In the river!
Yes, yes, my Lord Chancellor!
Won't you take that sum of money, Glumboso hid? 218,000 million, or thereabouts.
I will have that, and you too.
Let's throw the crown jewels in for bargain.
I will wear them by my Giglio's side.
Will half, three quarters, five, six, 19/20 of my kingdom do, Countess?
Ah, what is all Europe to me without you, my Giglio?
I can't, I won't. I'll resign the crown first.
I have a competency, my love, and with you and a cottage, your Barbara will be happy.
I will not marry her! Oh, fairy, fairy, give me counsel.
Why is Fairy Blackstick always advising me and warning me to keep my word? Does she suppose that I am not a man of sense and a man of honor?
Well, Archbishop, since I am to lose Rosalba, let me at least keep my honor. Countess, let us be married. I can keep my word, but I can die afterwards.
Oh, dear Giglio, I knew I could trust you. And as for dying, no, you will forget that insignificant little chambermaid of a queen. Thou wilt live to be consoled by thy Barbara. Let us get into the wedding carriage, my prince.
Here you are, child. Breathe in some of this precious essence, that's right.
Oh, it was real then. Have they gone?
To the church.
Oh, I cannot marry him, but I shall love him always. I will live and die unmarried, like Queen Elizabeth. And, of course, I shall leave my crown to Giglio when I quit this world. Let us go and see them married, my dear fairy. Let me say one last farewell to him, and then, if you please, I will return to my own dominion.
As you please. Just let me turn my wand into a coach and four. And we can travel with Angelica and Barclo.
Where are we going? This is not the way to the cathedral.
No, child. The bride and groom must sign the contract of marriage first at the palace where you were born, Angelica.
Mm.
And here we are.
Take my arm, Rosalba, dear. You're nearly fainting.
Let's stand here by the railings. Let me take one last look at my dear Giglio.
Where has Fairy Blackstick gone?
She flew out of the coach window as we stopped. There she is, on the palace steps.
Giglio came up the steps with his horrible bride on his arm, looking as pale as if he was going to execution.
Get out of the way, pray. Why are you always poking your nails into other people's affairs?
Are you determined to make this poor young man unhappy?
To marry him, yes. What business is it of yours? Pray, madam, don't you say you to a queen.
You won't take the money he offered you?
No.
You won't let him off his bargain, though you know you cheated him when you made him sign the paper?
Impudence! I'll have you thrown in the dungeon.
You won't take anything in exchange for your bond, Mrs. Grappenhoff. I speak for the last time.
No! I'll have my husband! My husband! My husband!
You shall have your husband.
The fairy Blackstick laid her hand upon the nose of the knocker. As she touched it, the brass nose seemed to elongate. The open mouth opened still wider and uttered a roar which made everybody start. The knocker expanded into a figure in yellow livery, 6 feet high. The screws by which it was fixed to the door unloosed themselves, and Jenkins Gruffanuff once more trod the threshold off which he had been lifted 20 years before.
Master's not at home!
Mrs. Jenkins, giving a dreadful yelp, fell down in a fit in which nobody minded her. The bells were ringing double peals, the guns roaring and banging most prodigiously. Bulbo was embracing everybody, Hedzoff had got the Archbishop round the waist, and they were dancing a jig for joy. And as for Giglio, I leave you to imagine what he was doing, and if he kissed Rosalba once, twice, 20,000 times, I'm sure I don't think he was wrong. So they all went in and signed the book, and then they went to church and were married. And the fairy Blackstick sailed away on her cane and was never more heard of in Paphlagonia.
So our little story ends. Twelfth night joy, good my friends.
And here ends the fireside pantomime. In episode 2 of The Rose and the Ring by William Makepeace Thackeray, the fairy Blackstick was played by Prunella Scales, Countess Gruffanuff by Maureen Lipman, and Thackeray by Roger Allen. King Valeroso was Clyde Swift, Glumboso, Spinacci and King Padella, John Normington, Captain Hedzoff, John Ringham, Angelica, Eleanor Tremaine, Rosalba, Lucy Taylor, Prince Bulbo, Charles Edwards, Prince Giglio, Christopher Staines, Queen Valeroso and the Landlady, Abigail Thor, Carter, Jailer, and Elephant and Castle, Max Digby, Jenkins Gruffanuff and Count Hogginamo, Anthony Jackson, the Young Boy, Julian Morris, Lieutenant Smith, Robin Sebastian, and Jones Esquire, David Mitchell. Other parts were played by members of the company. The music was composed and conducted by Derek Bourgeois. The executive producer was Richard Blake. The Rose and the Ring was adapted for radio by Alan Dryden, directed by Don Taylor, and was an independent production by First Rights Radio for BBC Radio 4.